Blog Talk Radio.
Hello all, this is Carol Otis, your host for this segment of WFYT Radio. I'd like to first start by saying good afternoon, good evening, and perhaps good morning, depending upon where you are in the world. And thank you so much for tuning in with us here at WFYT Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners worldwide. I hope you're having a fabulous day. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy the information our special guest is going to share with us all. We have today a very unique, intelligent young woman, Dr. Stephanie Brown. She is an animal communicator who can help you to communicate with your extended family members or your pets. Dr. Brown, are you on the line?
I am, Carol. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
Great. How are you this awesome Thursday afternoon?
Oh, it's fantastic here in California. Bright, sunny, our normal weather.
Okay. I'm broadcasting live from the East Coast today in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. We're having a gorgeous day as well.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Dr. Brown, would you please share with our listening audience some background about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't come into animal communication as an easy way, I'll say. I have spoken with animals from the time I was very young. And when I was a child, I was convinced that I should work with animals and wanted to actually become a veterinarian. I pursued veterinary medicine enough that I became a licensed nurse for animals. I worked in the field from one-man practices clear up and to where I was working with veterinarians where there were 16 and 17 on staff, and I was managing those clinics. The thing that I saw the whole time I was working in veterinary medicine was that there wasn't really a voice for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would walk into the kennel area and hear all of the voices or see the pictures that the animals were presenting to me, then it left me feeling very frustrated because I was bound to my oath that I would not be able to actually present that information. Veterinary medicine is very clear. It likes to go about things in a very scientific format, and that's really wonderful, and it's very important. But it was the thing that shone the light on me as to where my path needed to go. When I left veterinary medicine, I went back to school and finished off my doctorate in metaphysics. And some people don't really know what metaphysics is, but metaphysics is actually the study of souls and how we relate to souls, how we have souls within ourselves, and that extends to our animal kingdom as well.
Okay. Now, Dr. Brown, were there a special training that you had to endure to develop this skill that you have to communicate with animals?
Well, that is something that is coming about now. There's
mm-hmm.
associations that are coming together, and I'm part of one of those associations through Penelope Smith, and we are working to standardize the animal communication field because it's very important that we represent ourselves professionally, that when someone contacts an animal communicator, they know what to anticipate, they
mm-hmm.
know what information that they're looking for, they know that that animal communicator is very different from, let's say, a trainer or a behaviorist. And so it's very important that animal communicators do band together and do create the standard. Now, in my case, this is where it gets a little bit of a transitory thing. Animals communicate in a couple of different languages, but those languages are all non-physical based from when they're transferring information from one species to another. And so that communication that is non-physical is called telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the form of communication that I utilize with animals. And like anyone else, it takes tremendous structure, dedication,
mm-hmm.
I'm terribly sorry. I got lost in my thought there. It takes passion. It takes commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice of working with animals on a daily basis and having animals validate the information is the time that I invested, and that was over the course of years. This isn't something that you just pick up today and you say, okay, I'm going to do. This is something that really does take a tremendous amount of effort and practice and dedication on your part.
Well, Dr. Brown, you can certainly hear the passion coming through over the airwaves. Can you explain to us how telepathy works with animals?
Yeah, as I alluded to earlier, telepathy is a non-physical form of communication. It takes four different forms. One form of the communication is a sight form. It's basically the animal works as a receiver and a transmitter, very similar to how our radio system works or even our internet system works. There is a station that transmits radio waves, and we don't necessarily see, feel, hear, or touch those radio waves until they go through a receiver and they take a transmutation and transform into sound through our speaker system. I actually work as that receiver, and I work as a receiver and a transmitter. So I'm kind of the in-between person or unit, so to speak, that is able to speak both languages. I'm able to speak to the owners, and I'm able to speak to the animals. Now, like I said, the telepathy will take on one of four different forms. One is very visual. So animals that speak visually will project pictures to me. I will perceive those pictures through my mind's eye and then give the information to their owner.
Mm-hmm.
Another form is sentience, meaning emotions and sensations. So some animals, and sometimes if an animal is facing a terminal illness, let's say cancer, they will actually give me an impression of how they're feeling, whether the cancer is affecting their bladder or it's a tumor in their throat or it's a tumor in their pancreas or even in their bones. They will give me the sensation of what that tumor feels like, and then I can communicate that information once again to the owners. The next form is dogs or horses or cats or even birds. Some of them have such a developed communication and developed connection with their owners, and oftentimes these are the animals that are highly trained. So your show horses, your show dogs, your competitive dogs, your agility dogs, your cats that are performers, even birds that are performers, those type of animals have such a developed vocabulary that they almost, it sounds in my head like they're speaking in sentences and paragraphs. And so they really truly understand a lot more than what we give them credit for. So those are the predominant forms of communication, whether it be emotions, sensations, visual, or auditory. That's how the animals will communicate through telepathy to me as the receiver. I then receive that information and interpret it for the owner.
Okay, okay. Now, myself being a pet owner and pet lover,
mm-hmm.
I truly am amazed and in awe of the information that you're sharing today. Now, Dr. Brown, what is your feeling on skepticism that may surround the field that you're working in?
Wonderful question. Thank you so much. It's not something that a lot of animal communicators, nor even a lot of people in any of the metaphysics like to address. I'm just the opposite. Not only do I support skepticism, I truly believe that it's our own personal truth meter. And so I encourage people who are skeptics to maintain that skepticism. Just simply have an open mind, listen to what's being spoken of by their animal, and then make a decision. It's not about whether or not this is a bad thing. It's about, does this information benefit them and their relationship with their animal?
So it's also all about keeping an open mind.
Yeah, you know, we have to go through life, and we're the ones that have to discern our own position and our own values.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping and maintaining and, quite honestly, feeding your skepticism is healthy, but you cannot allow your skepticism to close doors of opportunity to you.
Definitely.
And if we close doors of opportunity, we are closing the opportunity to have a greater relationship with our animal, a greater relationship possibly even with God, or even just simply a greater relationship with the people that we communicate daily with.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I understand fully. Now, Dr. Brown, do you have to have a special ability to communicate with animals, or can anyone do this?
Honestly, anybody can do this, but if you and I, right now is a wonderful time because we have the Olympics that are getting ready to start, and those are world-class athletes, and these people train hours upon hours to get to the top of their game like they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pretty much anybody in the world can run or swim or walk. That doesn't mean that you have the self-discipline, the desire, the passion, and the dedication to put in to be a world-class event holder.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the difference is. I have put in that kind of time, effort, passion, love, and dedication into my profession and into animals as equally as that world-class soccer player does.
Now, Dr. Brown, is it hard to learn to communicate with animals?
It is not. The hardest part is learning how not to judge yourself.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Because when we start getting the information, our immediate response is, that can't be true. How could that be? Or our other response could very easily be, well, I already know that. It's dinner time, and so this is the normal time that I feed my cat, and so of course they're yelling at me because their stomach is empty. You know, so we have to get over that part of it, that self-judgment, and again, maintain skepticism, but be open-minded to realize, well, I wasn't really thinking about this specific thing. I wasn't thinking about feeding my animal. I was caught in my time, and all of a sudden I heard my animal complain that I want to be fed. So that's where the tough part is really learning to discern that difference of when are we self-judging versus when are we allowing the information to come in freely.
Okay, okay. What are some of the benefits of communicating with animals?
Well, there's a number of things that I work specifically with. I really love being able to be in a position where I'm helping owners improve their relationship with their animals. Anytime we can do that, we'll find immediate results. There's a sense of closeness. There's an improved ability to communicate between the owner and the animal. The owner has a better understanding of where their animal is coming from, the perspective that the animal has. So those things are the really good aspects. Some of the other things that people will call me about is their dog or their cat or horse has been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and they're interested in finding out how much treatment is the animal really interested in. Or somebody has rescued an animal, and they want to find out what is the history of that animal so that they can either place them in a good home, or it helps them by having that information so that they know where they're going to focus on their training aspects. So there's a number of reasons that you would call an animal communicator. The top reasons are, number one, curiosity. Number two, there's an illness. Number three, there's a behavioral issue. And number four is the owner is getting ready to go on a big trip. They're very concerned about their animal. They haven't left their animal. They want their animal to know that they're coming back for them or that they're going to be cared for. So the possibilities are truly endless as to why you would contact an animal communicator. Those are the main ones.
Okay, okay. Dr. Stephanie Brown, I'm quite sure with the number of listeners we have Blog Talk Radio, you have truly piqued the curiosity of some listeners out there. Would you please share with the listening audience your contact information in case someone would like to speak with you and get more information on what it is that you do, the services that you are able to provide?
Yes, thank you very much. They can contact me through giving me a call directly. My phone number is 310-318-PETS or 310-318-7387. They can also go on my website. I have two of them, so that kind of makes it easy. The first one is StephanieLBrown.com, and that is spelled StephanieLBrown.com. There's no spaces, it's all one word. The second one is solarnexus.com, and that is spelled SOLARNEXUS.com, and that is all one word as well. So those are the two websites that I can be contacted at, and again, my phone number.
Okay, thanks. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. Listeners, there you have it. Dr. Stephanie Brown has just shared her contact information with us all here at WFYT Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners worldwide. Now, Dr. Brown, I understand that you have a vast amount of training.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot of work with different organizations, from foundations to small kennels, homes, as well as communicated with animals in the wild. Can you tell us why you are different from other animal communicators?
The biggest reason that I am different from other animal communicators is I do have a background in veterinary medicine, and that's really important when we're dealing with health issues with our animals. I also did tremendous amounts of hours working with different breeds in training, herding breeds, working dog breeds, carting, sledding, weight pulls, all of those things. So in having this diverse background and having over 25 years experience of working hands-on with animals, it allows me to come into an owner's home or speak with an owner on the telephone and bring up specifics that can help the owner transition through a behavioral issue or help the owner with understanding the perspective of their dog. And so that is a vast amount of education that my clients have access to that they would have to spend hours learning, developing, or at least contacting other experts. So that really sets me apart from other animal communicators. Like I said earlier, we are trying to standardize the animal communication field. It's very, very important. This is a very young field. We want consistency. We want people, the public, to be able to count on us as professionals that we are. So by my being part of that movement, by really supporting that standardization, it gives the public something to hold us accountable to, and they should.
Okay. Now, Dr. Brown, if you had a client to contact you that was not in your immediate area, you're on the West Coast, say, for instance, someone called you and they were in Texas, and they had an issue going on with their pet, their dog or their cat, how would you be able to communicate with that animal given that distance between you all?
Good question. I actually work with people all over the world.
Okay.
My client list goes from Canada to Sao Paulo, Brazil, from Japan to London, England. So it really does cover a vast area. There's a couple of ways. Some clients elect to actually speak to me directly on the phone, and some will send me pictures of their animals, whether it be via the internet or snail mail system. Other clients will contact me through the internet, through either of my websites, and they'll establish an email with me and will communicate that way, especially some of the clients that are out of country. They don't speak English quite as well as what they'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
So they will contact me. They'll send me an email. They'll send me pictures. They'll address what issues they're interested in covering. And then I will actually write out the whole session for them so that they can either ask somebody to interpret it for them or they can spend the time with it. If I'm working with somebody on the telephone, then what happens is I'm able to contact the animal very much like what we were talking about with how radio waves work. As a transmitter, it focuses in on sending out one particular frequency. Each of us have our own vibrational frequency, and that's what I'm tuning into with that particular animal. So there's sometimes a little bit of a time delay, oftentimes not much, so I'm able to communicate with the animal and then receive the information and then communicate with the owner.
Now, how does a customer know that you actually connected with their pet?
Some of the animals will come over and they'll lay on top of the phone.
Okay.
And if I'm working on the phone, if I'm working with an animal in someone's home, the owners find it really fascinating that I can walk into the household and there may be a dog that they've called me about who's extremely shy and doesn't engage with anyone, or a cat, and I can walk into the home and that animal will show up and be present in the room when I am there, and they don't do that for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just simply, I tell the owner I'm going to make a request that they be here for me so that they can demonstrate to you that there is communication going on. Sometimes there may be a behavioral issue, and when I'm talking with the owner and working out some kind of an agreement between the owner and the animal, that I will ask the animal to demonstrate what we just agreed upon. And occasionally, well, I would say more than occasionally, that animal will do that action immediately.
That is awesome. And listeners, thanks to the unique process called animal communication, many of us are finding out that it is indeed possible to have an expert animal communicator such as Dr. Stephanie Brown to bring our pets and ourselves closer in our relationships through communication. Dr. Brown, I have one other question for you.
Good.
How much do you charge your customers for your service?
That's a tough one. If somebody is coming to see me in my office, then the session is set up in half-hour and hour segments. A half-hour is $100, an hour is $200. If I'm working with somebody on the telephone, it's a half-hour session, and that's $100. If it's a situation where I have to travel to somebody, then it's the price of the session plus all of my travel time, because if I'm traveling, I'm unavailable to someone else.
Right. I understand that fully. Now, if there is a case where a pet owner is experiencing behavior problems with their pet, are you able to get instant results after your communication with that animal?
It depends on what the behavior is. If somebody is calling me to change an absolutely normal behavior on a dog or a cat, I can't change that. That is a normal behavior, in the sense of, if somebody calls me into their home and they don't want their cat scratching the carpet, cats need to scratch. It is biologically necessity for them. So that's where I have to work with the owners and educate the owners about normal behavior and options that we have to give our animals. Now, if it is a behavior issue that just occurred, let's say that a dog is defecating in the house, and we find out that there's a problem, that the dog was scared on the outside, and so then we'll walk through that issue. I'll talk to the dog about what happened, what occurred, and work with them to transition over whatever, if it's a fear or if it's a anger, you know, some emotions. You know, sometimes dogs or cats will have emotions that they will be so mad at the owner they'll act out. And
right.
So that's when I can come in and I can work between the animal and the owner, and we can find out what is the root of the problem, and oftentimes that will be immediately corrected.
Okay. Now, Dr. Brown, before we call this session a wrap, would you please once again share all of your contact information with our listening audience? And for those who may have come in later and missed the information that you shared with us earlier.
Yes, thank you, Carol. They can contact me at 310-318-PETS or 310-318-7387. I have two different websites that they can contact me through. The first one is stephanielbrown.com, all one word, spelled stephanielbrown.com, or solarnexus.com. That is spelled solarnexus.com.
Thank you so much. Dr. Brown, it has truly been a privilege to not only speak with you today, but to learn more of the animal communicating field. And I am so happy to have had the opportunity to speak with you. And would you come back and chat with us again in the very near future?
I would love to. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, it was great to have you. And as being a pet owner and a pet lover, I find this field very, very intriguing. And one quick question I have before we sign off here. Do you, what do you like most about communicating with animals? And remember, we have to keep this real brief, Dr. Brown.
Being able to help the owners improve their relationship with their animal.
Okay. Okay. I thank you again. And listeners, remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. You've been listening to WFYT Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners worldwide. I want you to smile and always enjoy your lives. Dr. Brown, before we call this thing a wrap, would you let anyone on the airway know real quickly that this is real, this is a real field, and that animals do have the ability to communicate.
They absolutely do, Carol. It is about soul-to-soul communication.
Okay. Thank you so much, and see you next time.
Thank you.